Welcome to Word from the Mountaintop, a weekly inspirational podcast brought to you from the Mountain Luther Parish. Today's Word of the Lord will be shared by Pastor Jason or Pastor Jess Felici.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." But Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the gospel of our Lord. Will you pray with me? Lord, on this All Saints Day, this day where we speak aloud the names of those who have left this world, who have joined the church triumphant, some of us will have heavier hearts than others. But each of us, Lord, needs to hear your promise. Each one of us needs to know your promise of love and grace and salvation and resurrection. Help us to hear you, Lord. Help us to know your love. Amen. I want to invite you to picture my polar opposite. So I am blonde. I am 5'0". I am bouncy and gingly, right? So picture 6'3", dark hair, tattooed sleeves all the way from fingers to shoulders. Can lift weights heavier than I stand. And then you're starting to picture Pastor Nadia Boltz-Weber. She's a Lutheran pastor who started a congregation in Denver, Colorado, and she cusses like a sailor. And she's written a fabulous book called Accidental Saints. Accidental Saints. Finding God in all the wrong people. And in this book, she talks about what it's like to be a woman who sets out to open a congregation. Because I bet you can imagine that a woman who's 6'3", with tattooed sleeves, cusses like a sailor, would not be the kind of pastor that Calvary Lutheran Church in Brandywine, West Virginia would think, "We should call her here." Not the kind of pastor that we would be thinking would be the perfect fit. But Pastor Nadia, whose life was lost in her 20s to addiction and to homelessness, her message of hope and salvation and the way that she sees Jesus Christ, it hits a particular group of people. And so she opened this congregation and she named it, of all things, the House for All Saints and Sinners in Denver, Colorado. And as she's setting out to start this congregation, she stumbles upon the name of a female
renowned preacher from the early 1900s, the late 1800s, at the turn of the 20th century. This preacher's name was Alma White. And Pastor Nadia says in her book how in love she fell with Alma White's story. And Alma White went on to become the first female bishop in the United States of America. But there's a reason you've never heard of her. And that's because Alma White was also known for her affiliation with the Ku Klux Klan. As Pastor Nadia was researching more and more about this woman, she discovered that she was not only associated with the Ku Klux Klan and a total racist, but she was also anti-Catholic, and I've practiced this word all weekend, would you think I can think of it? Anti-Pentecostalist, there it is. Anti-Pentecostalist, and she rallied against the immigrants in the early 1900s. So there's a reason that the Christian church isn't saying, check out this Alma White, the first female bishop of the United States of America, right? Because we're a little embarrassed by her. And so is Pastor Nadia. And she says how she was so distraught over discovering this incredible woman and that all of the negative things that were in her story. And in this book, Pastor Nadia says that she was speaking to a friend who was a pastor. And when she shared this burden, this heartache, that this woman was so rotten, she was so rife with sin, her friend said, "Well, give me her name, and we'll light a candle for her at All Saints." And this riled up Pastor Nadia. Because you know the last thing she wanted was for the saints of God to be listing a racist. But she came around
after a while, and she writes in her book, "On All Saints Sunday, I am faced with the sticky ambiguities around saints who were bad and sinners who were good." Now, we Lutherans, we get a little uncomfortable with the thought of saints, right?
When I say the name saint, some of us picture that golden halo and the painting that gets plastered to the wall of a church that is not a Lutheran church. We think of icons, right? Or we think of these saints who have had to pass the tests in Roman Catholic tradition, where you can only be codified as a saint once you've had two miracles that have been proven to a committee who have researched your entire life. But Lutherans, we have a different view. This is the time of year, Reformation, All Saints, that Pastor Jason and I pull out those fancy Latin phrases that we learned in seminary. And I'm going to pull it out again today. I'm going to pull out a little bit of fancy Latin because I think it'll help this idea stick. Have you ever heard "Simul Justus et Peccator"? If you've been a lifelong Lutheran, you've probably stumbled upon it. We're going to break it down, ready? Simul or simul sounds like what? Simultaneous, right? At the same time, simultaneously. All right, now this is an easy one, ready? Justus, J-U-S-T-U-S. What does that sound like?
Justice.
Justice. So simultaneously justified or forgiven or saint, simultaneously saint, et peccator. Now that doesn't sound like anything, but I bet you can guess, simultaneously saint and
sinner.
The Lutheran teaching is taken from Scripture to teach us that none of us is entirely saint. And anytime we think that we have this golden halo around our heads, right? Anytime we think that we are completely saints, we need to be brought down and reminded that we are sinners. But none of us, not even Alma White and all of her terrible affiliations and the rotten things she said, none of us is entirely a sinner. We are all bound up in being sinner and saint. We are all wrapped up as sinner saints who get everything wrong and who are forgiven anyway. And that's exactly where we find ourselves when we take the reading from St. John, the 11th chapter. We find Jesus arriving too late to Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And there's a couple of little details that sometimes we overlook about this story, so I wanted to take a moment to bring them out with you, okay? Is Lazarus married? Not that we've ever seen in Scripture, right? And he lives with who? His sisters, Mary and Martha. So Lazarus and Mary and Martha live together. And that's not really typical of this age. A grown man would be assigned a wife, given a wife in an arranged marriage, and he would be the head of his household with slaves and children and a wife to take care of, right? But here Lazarus is living with his sisters, and he's died. And when Jesus arrives on the scene, Mary greets him and she says, "Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died." And I think that line, "Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died," that line is why we read this story on All Saints' Day. Because there's not a single one of us who hasn't ever thought that. "Lord, if you had been here, my friend wouldn't have gotten cancer. Lord, if you had been here, there wouldn't be this pain and this suffering. I wouldn't be crying." But this story doesn't stop with Mary lambasting Jesus. The story goes on with Jesus seeing, our scriptures say, being deeply moved of spirit, disturbed of spirit. And Jesus is so moved by Mary and Martha and those faithful people who came to mourn Lazarus that our scriptures say Jesus wept. There's a reason we read this story on All Saints' Day. Because we are reminded, we are told, that Jesus weeps with us. That Jesus suffers the agony of loss and death with us. Reason that we read this very story, this story from our scriptures. There's a reason we tell the story of a plain old man who never got married. And that's because we are all Lazarus. We don't tell the story of some saint who performed two miracles and was known for all the glorious things he did. Jesus didn't choose to resurrect some pious Pharisee who followed all of the laws of Scripture. Jesus pulls from the grave Lazarus, an ordinary old man, whose story was so not special that we don't know anything about him. And Jesus does this so that we know, that we matter. So that we know that we are part of God's plan. Jesus says, "Lazarus, come out." And then he turns to the crowd and he says, "Unbind him and set him free." And he does the same to us. We who are so bound up in our sin that we forget that God can claim us as saints. God says, "Unbind her and set her free. Unbind him and set him free." And as sinners who are also saints, we are able to sing of God's love. We are able to tell other people about the hope of new life, about the day when there will be no more weeping, about the day when God will come and make his home among mortals. That is the good news of All Saints. Be unbound and set free.
We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. And for further messages from our clergy, feel free to visit wordfromthemountaintop.org.